This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. CHS has signed an intent to purchase agreement with Cargill to acquire 8 grain elevators in 5 states. The assets included in the sale include facilities in Pipestone and Maynard, Minnesota, Parker, South Dakota, and locations in Illinois, Nebraska, and Colorado. CHS Executive Vice President of Ag Retail, Distribution, and Transportation, Rick Dusick, said this deal is part of a large strategy to invest in its supply chain and increase market access.
Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson is again emphasizing a farm bill will be considered in the House Agriculture Committee before Memorial Day. Thompson released a statement about the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, commonly known as food stamps. Thompson said the program has evaluated food prices and nutrition standards every 5 years and has remained budget neutral. However, the Biden administration changed that in 2021 when it increased SNAP spending by $256 billion over a 10-year period. Thompson said the executive order violated the Congressional Review Act. In the column, Thompson said it is important to correct any misinformation about cuts to nutrition spending.
NDSU Extension bioengineer economist Dr. David Riplinger shared insights during a webinar held by the North Dakota Ethanol Council and the North Dakota Corn Growers Association. Riplinger says biofuel blending has become favorable for fossil fuel companies.
There has been also a fundamental shift in how the petroleum industry views biofuels. It used to be, and very strongly held, that biofuels were a negative because they displaced or took part of the gas tank, right? They were displacing refined petroleum products. That's not a desired thing for someone who's in that business. But now the idea has completely shifted. Now biofuels are appreciated because they can lower the carbon footprint of that entire blend and continue to support the competitiveness of the internal combustion engine.
Fuel companies would rather consumers use more biofuel blends than EVs.
We're seeing this even more in news, even within recent days. The prospects for the internal combustion engine are still quite strong. We are not going to see a massive displacement of light vehicles, cars, and trucks powered with an internal combustion engine. EIA, which is part of the U.S. Department of Energy, has their projections of sales as well as the size of the fleets. And there might not be growth, but there's certainly not this rapid decline or anything close to a complete replacement of the internal combustion engine.
For the first time since mid-January, weekly ethanol production fell below 1 million barrels per day. The weekly report from the Energy Information Administration says ethanol production fell to 983,000 barrels per day during the week ending April 12th. That's down 73,000 barrels per day from the previous week. Ethanol stocks are down 100,000 barrels to 26.1 million barrels.
Grain markets trading a couple of different fronts. Van Onen Company CEO Jim Emter says the first front is weather.
Second front is, you know, the energy markets. When you look to the instability out of Israel, what will they do next? Iran with their attacks over the weekend. You know, the oil market has been all over the place, and we need to realize these grains we're looking at are just as much in a fuel-type market anymore as they are a food market. So as the crude oil and as these outside energies lose a little steam, you know, I think that just spills over into the grain complex, and in an already kind of a negative environment, it just kind of, you know, continues on.
And Emter says it's key for the grains to hold support levels.
Holding together here at these key price points. When you look to the corn market, we've just got to come in here and really see this base continue to hold. And so, again, for us, that's staying above this 438 level in July corn, 1163 in July soybeans, and 640 in July spring wheat. Last night, spring wheat perked up 15 cents at one point, just out of the blue, and then settled back. So I just think there's an importance in these more bear environments to have orders working and be ready to execute if it gets up to better price points. For right now, though, we're on the support measures, and we've got to hold these areas, otherwise we roll over.
Ukraine has backed out of a recent shipping deal that would have ensured the safety of merchant shipping through the Black Sea. The deal between Ukraine, Turkey, and Russia was set to be announced on March 30th. In July of last year, Russia terminated the Black Sea Grain Initiative, forcing Ukraine to move shipping vessels through a new corridor that has more than doubled their grain exports.
At a recent meeting of the Crop Protection Product Harmonization and Registration Board, the big topic of discussion was the EPA's decision to limit the use of fungicide chlorothalonil for use of chickpeas and dry beans. NDSU research plant pathologist Michael Wunsch says chlorothalonil is an important tool used by dry bean farmers in the state.
We really rely on chlorothalonil, Proline, Provisol as our tools for managing ascochyta blight. The other SDHIs that are on the market never worked very well. Okay, they didn't work as well as Pryaxir or as the SHI Imiravis Neo. And with Pryaxir being lost, we've probably lost whatever efficacy was available on one or more of those other SDHIs as well. We really don't have many tools. And if we lose the chlorothalonil, I'd be very concerned about the Montana, North Dakota chickpea producers being able to maintain satisfactory disease management in the wetter years.
Bunch says that losing that tool would be a big blow to North Dakota dry bean farmers.
Looks like we dodged a bullet in the sense that they have allowed it to stay registered. It's just a limit on the amount that can go out every season, but hopefully enough applications for them to be able to get through a wet year.
Average estimate for Friday's cattle on feed report expects the on feed number to be up 2% from a year ago. The survey compiled by the Wall Street Journal expects placements to be down 7%, marketings to be down 11% from last year. That cattle on feed report will be released 2:00 Central Time on Friday. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Kennedy, Minnesota farmer Rob Running has started seeding and reports over 400 acres of winter wheat in his fields. According to Running, planting in the area varies so far from farm to farm, with some tillage taking place as well.
We kind of started out a little bit on the dry side, actually, and now, of course, we got this rain the last couple days. Some guys had started doing some tillage and some planting. Varies farm to farm. We've got 2.5 days of seeding in, did some wheat. We also have a little over 400 acres of winter wheat in. It's coming around nicely. It looks like it's starting to grow well. So you've seen a little bit of wheat go in around here. I think that's pretty much all that's gone in as far as I've heard. There might have been a few acres of beets. We don't have sugar beets, but I think there's some acreage of beets.
Running says recent rains have helped with soil conditions without delaying seeding much.
It looks like we're gonna cool off, so this moisture will have a chance to seep in really nice. The seeded acreage, it was kind of a perfect rain in that the seeded acreage will do well from it. It's not gonna delay us a terrible long time on the stuff that hasn't gotten worked or seeded yet. Kind of a perfect rain for this time of year, I think. It looks like cool weather and then maybe some light chances during the week next week.
Fieldwork and some planting is underway for Four Hills Farms at Barnesville, Minnesota, according to Jake Thompson.
We did get some oats planted. A lot of fertilizer been applied with strip tilling, and we do no-till and strip tilling. So been doing a lot of strip tilling, no-tilling and fertilizer. My brother did get some sugar beets planted here over the weekend. Those look like it might be a little cold here this coming week, but we are getting a little rain and
calving cows ahead of their annual bull sale this weekend has been a little less stressful due to favorable weather conditions.
Obviously, the winter has been very mild, so for calving, it's been able to catch a few more hours of sleep than normal, I guess, at night. And here we're kind of just starting to gear up, like I said, for the sale and get some more bulls sold, and then soon thereafter we'll turn around and be looking at doing some breeding.
Warmer winter has grass growth ahead of schedule in much of the Red River Valley. NDSU Extension Rangeland Management Specialist Kevin Sedovic says conditions look good for normal to early turnout on pasture.
Yeah, this year's been a really good year, as most of our winter has. And grass growth is actually ahead of schedule because of the warmer climate we've had. A lot of our cool season grasses are ahead of tillering, so it appears to me that this year is going to be a normal to early turnout period for most of our pastures, especially if you're in, you know, the central North Dakota, eastern North Dakota. The only area that's a little bit tough is the northern part of the state, where they've been in a severe drought for the last year and a half. But yeah, this year looks great for early to normal turnout on pasture.
And according to Sedovic, grass conditions appear to be well ahead of schedule.
This year we're ahead of schedule, and like a brome grass or a crested wheatgrass will reach that stage probably next week. Native range will probably reach it more around mid-May versus later May. So I would say we're about 10 weeks ahead of schedule because of the warmer climate we've had. And we've had some moisture, at least the last few days we've had some moisture, which definitely will help in terms of growth. But you're looking for that 3 to 4 leaves on your grasses.
Corn Belt Marketing Market Analyst Sam Hudson says the livestock market continues to chew through news headlines.
You know, still digesting, the fallout and concerns and kind of murky water about the, you know, this avian flu situation. The markets, I think, found an easy path higher, at least on the front end of this week into midweek, ahead of cattle on feed report at the end of the week. It's going to be tough to find anybody continuing to want to sell it into the hole ahead of a data set like that. And so I think at this point we're trying to find that high water mark. Maybe we did that yesterday. But at this point I think we need to see some proof in the cash markets. If we see that, I would expect to see the spreads firm up. And see the potential for another leg higher as we get into this summer. But, you know, again, we got to put this bad news in the rear view and see if this becomes a bigger point of interest leading up to the elections.
Foreign investors with an interest in U.S. farm ground must report those land holdings and transactions to USDA. A news release from the Minnesota Farm Service Agency said that information must be filed within 90 days of the transaction. State FSA Director Whitney Place said the failure to report or the filing of an inaccurate report can result in penalties up to 25% of the fair market value of that land. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota State University Extension Cropping Systems Specialist Greg Endress will retire May 1st. Endress began his extension career as an assistant ag agent in Ramsey County in 1983. After time in Rolette County, Endress has been at his current role at the Carrington Research Extension Center since 1990.
Corey Scott is in her early days as the new executive director of Midwest Dairy. Scott is a University of Minnesota Crookston graduate and spent the last 15 years of her career with Land O'Lakes and its sustainability division, TruTerra.
It's a unique time to be coming into a checkoff role, given what the economics look like. You know, with my background in risk management, it forces me to take a very critical business lens of how we're deploying checkoff dollars. I think it's a unique time coming in where we don't have the luxury to be using checkoff dollars in such a way that we can't quantify the impact.
The Red River Farm Network asked Scott about her biggest surprise during the first month on the job. She pointed to the important role of Gen Z consumers.
They care so much about animal care. They care about where their food is coming from, and they care about the things that those farmers have to say. And that has been such a surprise to me. But that's what we have to focus on, looking at that future spending power and those things that are important to them. They care, but very few of them know what's happening at the farm gate. So again, this is an opportunity for farmers to leverage their voice and help educate and engage at the same time.
Look at markets before we leave you. Minneapolis May wheat 4.25 cents lower at 634. September down 5 at 650 3/4. Chicago wheat 13 lower at 536 3/4. Kansas City down 13 1/4 at 574 1/4. Corn May futures down 0.75 cents at 430 1/4. December down 2.25 cents, at 465. Soybeans May futures 4 cents higher at 1149. August 4.25 higher at 1165. November soybeans 2.75 cents higher at 1161 1/4. June live cattle down 52 cents at 175.20. And feeder cattle, May futures down 42 cents at 240.55. August feeders down 12 cents at 252.22. May lean hogs, 2 cents higher at 94.75. This is the Red River Farm Network.